Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, it's been confirmed today that all money which hadn't been released to successful applicants for Children's Disability Service grant last year will be made available and all the groups will get what they were promised. Donegal Deputy Charles Ward has called for the establishment of a new dental school in the Northwest. He was speaking on a debate on the dental service in the Dáil earlier today. Ishke Aaron says its crews are supporting repair teams to assess damage caused by the undersea pipeline, which supplies drinking water from the mainland to Gola Island. And an Inishowen councillor claims that Ishke Aaron isn't fit for purpose and is being negligent toward Donegal. Later in the bulletin, Mark Gallagher is here with Sports News. That's coming up shortly after 5:15. But we begin with confirmation this afternoon that all monies announced last year for four projects in Donegal and projects elsewhere in the country under the Children's Disability Service Grant will be made available and the groups will get what they were promised. Just under €4 million of the money had been promised to four projects in Donegal. Deputy Piers Doherty says the money, which was announced to great fanfare just before last year's local election, should have been released to the successful applicants as emergency funding back in December 2023. Since then, he says HSE and the government have rolled back on their commitments, with Deputy Doherty describing the situation as a shambolic farce. He says he'll be watching to ensure that the €3.6 million promised to four organisations in Donegal is paid immediately, and he'll also be striving to find out what happened to create this situation. Deputy Doherty says this should never have happened.
Thankfully, we have finally got it resolved. I understand that there have been emergency meetings as a result of this year. The ministers were involved. We've had just a meeting with the HSE and senior ministers this afternoon, and they've now confirmed to me that all of the money will make its way to all of the organisations, including the four that will operate in Donegal. All of the money will now be made available on a multi-annual basis, and also that the requirement that it's all spent by the end of the year is no longer there.
At one point over the past number of months, you were being told that they would actually have to reapply and go back to the back of a queue to get the money. Now, that would seem to suggest there is something fundamentally wrong with the whole way the allocation and distribution of this money is structured. Do they need to have a very cold and clear look at the processes and the procedures in place?
Without a doubt. And, while some of this was tried to be painted by government and the HSE as communication issues, I really knocked that back. This is nothing to do with communication. This is basically abandoning children with additional needs in their families at their time of need. And in a way, as one of the parents talked about, using one of the children and their parents as a photo prop, as a prop in an election photo call, which was 2 days before the local elections. It's not acceptable. Even though the money has been released and the organisation are now guaranteed that they will get all the money that they were promised, I'm still not going to let it rest. I now intend to put in a Freedom of Information request for all of the documentation to find out how this fiasco went on for 2 years and why parents and children in my county and indeed in other counties were left high and dry.
And there's more from Deputy Piers Doherty on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, the announcement just before the local elections last year was made at the No Barriers Foundation in Letterkenny, and it was the main recipient of the monies which were announced. The funding as announced on the day were to four organisations, as we said. No Barriers was to receive just over €3,072,000. Finn Valley Leisure Centre, €34,000. Health Hub Professionals Northern Ireland, €302,000. And Spree August Sport in Carndonagh, €210,000. They're the four beneficiaries which are serving Donegal that were announced on that day. They will now get that money, according to W. Piers Doherty. Well, Donegal Deputy Charles Ward has called for the establishment of a new dental school in the Northwest. The 100% Redress TD told the Dáil today he doesn't believe issues in the public or private dental sector, particularly in rural areas, can be addressed without the establishment of a new dental school to address the shortage of dentists across the country. He said ATU has been steadily growing and developing new courses, and that should be supported. Deputy Ward said the cross-border directive scheme for Donegal patients, particularly younger people crossing the border for treatment, can be complex and confusing. And he told the Dáil some of the requirements to ensure reimbursement are simply ridiculous.
Many children in Donegal are forced to go cross-border to access essential dental treatment. And this is not for cosmetic procedures, Minister. This is for essential treatments. The application process can be complex and confusing, with many constituents feeling misled or unclear about the eligibility requirements. Some of the requirements to ensure reimbursement are unnecessary and frankly ridiculous. When you go into the north, you would have to purchase an item in the north from a shop, which would be a receipt to show that you're actually in the county of Derry or Tyrone. Some of the requirements to ensure reimbursement it's bizarre, some of the things people have had to do. Many people are unaware of these requirements, believing that the application and the confirmation of the clinic would be enough, which is not the case, and many people are misled and are out significant amounts of money in some cases. The application process needs to be far more accessible. We also need to address the severe lack of dentists, and this is what is causing such a backlog. Last year, there were only one dentist per 2,500 eligible medical card patients in Ireland. One in six patients are on private dental care or waiting lists over 3 months for elective appointments, while half of the patients are being forced to wait longer than 3 months for specialised care. We need to provide significant increase in dental school places in the University College Cork and Trinity College Dublin, but we also need to expand significantly beyond Dublin and Cork. It's clear that we need to establish a new dental school, and this should be established in the northwest.
And that was W. Charles Ward again. More from W. Ward on our website. Ishgairin says its crews are supporting repair teams to assess damage caused to the undersea pipeline, which supplies drinking water from the mainland to Gola Island. They say up to 40 properties are impacted by the interruption to drinking water supply, and alternative supplies, including tankers and bottled water, are available at the pier on Gola. The utility says this is a complex repair due to the logistical challenges of the submarine infrastructure, and they're encouraging people to avoid unnecessary travel near the affected infrastructure, which is marked with buoys in the bay, and to conserve stored water where possible. Well, an Inishowen councillor is claiming today that Ishgairin is not fit for purpose. It's after water outages hit areas across Donegal during the hot weather. Speaking to Michaela Clark on this morning's 9 till noon show, Councillor Ali Farron said Ishgairin have been negligent toward Donegal.
I've got the opportunity to meet Irish Water once since we were elected. I don't know when I'm going to be able to sit down in a room with Irish Water next. I haven't a notion. Mm-hmm. To be able to highlight the concerns of all the areas that I would represent. Yet, you know, when the water goes off, my phone rings to say, when's the water coming on? And we are endeavouring our best to be a media, but it's not right that, you know, Irish Water are not putting the infrastructure around here to this area. On last Sunday, the water was running in Mallantown all day. Nobody was there to turn it off onto the Monday morning, which meant that the reservoir was leaking all the time overnight. These are simple things that Irish Water could do better. They need to, there's 400 metres of pipeline up the road that was to be replaced 3 or 4 years ago. That hasn't been replaced. The government serves our water supply to a body that are at the moment not fit for purpose, in my opinion. And they're leaving a very, very bad taste in this area.
An Irish MEP has described parts of a proposal to merge ring-fenced common agricultural policy funding into a superfund as crazy. In a statement this afternoon, the Agriculture Minister, Martin Hayden, said any changes will be studied in detail to assess the impact on Ireland. Well, the Agriculture Commissioner, Christoph Hansen, has been addressing the European Parliament on his proposed changes, and Independent Ireland MEP Ciarán Mullooly says that the Commissioner has confirmed there'll be a basic cut of over 20% in the CAP payment. He's also indicated that the Commissioner intends to phase out payments under CAP to older farmers. That's a measure aimed at bringing younger people into farming. Well, Mr. Mullooly addressed the Commissioner in the Parliament a short time ago.
Commissioner, I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed. You set out, I know what you set out to do, but you come into us today and confirm that you've let our budget slip. Our budget is gone. 20% is gone. 20% down. And at the same time, we learn that 131 billion is going into defence and space. Fivefold increase from what was available. Fivefold increase. We are relegated. You have relegated our industry. You had good intentions for young farmers. I asked the question, you want questions, how do we now support young farmers if their CAP payments are going to be reduced by 20%? How do we make it viable for farmers to stay on the land in those circumstances? So I ask you, how will this integration work with member states? You know, you mentioned the integration. If the own resources are available, what if the resources are not available? Is that the end of programmes that were previously ring-fenced, such as LEADER? Are they going to be paid? Will they be paid for by a top-up, by some magical top-up from the budget?
Property prices rose by almost 8% in the year to May, with the increase in the border counties above that at just over 11%. The median price of a property nationally was €370,000. In Donegal, it was €190,000. The chairperson of the Association of Irish Mortgage Advisors, Trevor Grant, has been outlining the increase in different parts of the country.
So it varies quite a bit. So the highest price growth that was seen in the 12 months is in Fingal and Dublin at 9.3%. That's the highest in terms of Dublin. Outside of Dublin, the border counties, Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Monaghan and Sligo, saw growth of 11.1%. And indeed, we saw 7.7% growth in the region covering Carlow, Kilkenny, Waterford and Wexford.
Funding has been allocated for 14 community projects as part of the final phase of the Chrysler Community Support Fund. Nearly €2 million was raised through the Irish Red Cross, almost 90% of which was used to support families of the bereaved and others who suffered loss and were heavily affected by the tragedy. Over 165,000 was set aside to support longer term community recovery, and that's the money that was allocated to the 14 community projects and confirmed last evening. Well, Deirdre McGarvey, Irish Red Cross Secretary General, says the funding will make a real difference to those who are impacted.
From the very beginning, we knew that we would hold back a certain small amount of funds because we know from research internationally and with other traumatic events that trauma has a long tail. Yeah. It has a long aftermath, and it is community organisations and groups that are the ones left picking up the fragments. 8%, 9% of the funds, it turned out to be. The end of last year, you know, we determined that it was community groups that were the key to supporting in terms of long-term community resilience dealing with trauma. So a total of 18 organisations applied. Two were completely ineligible because they were just from different parts of the country, right, and are completely not connected. And of the 16 applications, they were actually made by 14 organisations. Two organisations had done, you know, two separate projects.
Right.
So we were very happy to be able to use the fund to fund all 14 organisations that had made a request. So that is something that we're particularly proud of. The money didn't go to just groups that were operating in Chrysler. The people who were affected by that tragedy, they have a very wide footprint here in Letterkenny, locally, yeah, across the townland, but also in other parts of Ireland and indeed internationally. So it's communities that are focused on the Chrysler tragedy.
And that was Deirdre McGarvey, the Irish Red Cross Secretary General, speaking earlier today to Michaela Clark. The government is to consider the use of cameras to detect drivers using their phones or not wearing seatbelts. It's one of the steps in the second phase of a road safety action plan being considered for 2025 to 2027. The Department of Transport aims to end the practice of learner drivers rolling over provisional licences without sitting a test and reduce the speed limit on national secondary roads from 100 kilometres an hour to 80. It'll also develop the legislation and framework to ensure people charged with certain road traffic offences attend a speed awareness course.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leader in sports equipment for clubs and schools at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thank you, Donald. Good evening. We'll begin with Gaelic Games. Jim McGuinness says, it's a privilege to be gearing up for another All-Ireland Senior Football Final. Sunday week will be the Donegal manager's third time to lead out his county for the biggest day on the GAA calendar, and the importance of the occasion is not lost on him. Speaking at a press event last night, the Glendies native said, having 2 weeks to prepare for the game is a big plus.
It's a privileged position to be in. We must embrace that now and enjoy that. But listen, 2 weeks is 2 weeks is kind of bonus territory in terms of what we've come through, and we'll be glad to have that. And we should be enough time to you know, I suppose, going back to the injuries, when you don't have any injuries and you're not sort of, you know, there's a lot of evenings there where you're taking the precautionary side of the road rather than pushing people on. And every time we were in that situation throughout the National League as well, we've tried to manage people, we've tried to manage minutes, we've tried to manage injuries, not sort of veer to the risk side of the road, and you know, with the view that we want to have people available, as many people as available as possible, and so we are in that position now, so we're delighted with that.
Meanwhile, on the 9 till noon show this morning, Highland Radio's head of sport, Oisin Kelly, released the details of the expert panel of guests who will be attending our big match countdown at the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny this coming Monday night.
Next Monday, I can confirm that we will be joined by a host of previous All-Ireland winners, the likes of Eamon McGee from Donegal in 2012, of course, lifting the Sam Maguire and getting his winner's Celtic Cross medal. Tony Boyle was an All-Ireland winner in 1992. He will be joining our panel. And with a couple of men coming from our neighbouring county, and I'm sure they're their views on the game and the season and how Donegal are progressing will be very, very interesting indeed. Ronan McNamee is an all-star and he won an All-Ireland with Tyrone in 2021. So Ronan will be joining us and we got him a bit of backup as well. So we did. And no one better than Mr. Gavin Devlin, who was an All-Ireland winner with Tyrone in 2003. And of course, he went on then to become Mickey Hart's right-hand man for a number of years. So there's a bit of history, obviously, with Tyrone and Donegal. Certainly it will make for an interesting night, that is for sure. Also on the bill, we'll be speaking to the likes of Frank McGlynn, an All-Ireland winner in 2012. Mark McHugh will be joining us, lifted Sam in 1992. Anthony Molloy, of course, was the captain, the man that brought the Sam Maguire back to the Hills for the very first time. He took to the steps in the Hogan Stand on that famous, famous day. And Anthony's coming along and we'll be speaking to him as well. Also on the show, Ryan Bradley won an All-Ireland in 2012. We were down actually on the show recently with the Score programme, and Ryan was telling us some of the stories about times gone past with Donegal. We'll hear more about them with Ryan, of course, and how this game is going to pan out. And also Maureen O'Donnell is joining us because Maureen is an All-Ireland winner herself in her own rights, was part of the Donegal ladies team that won an All-Ireland title back in 2003.
Tickets are priced at €20 and are selling fast. You can get yours now over on our website at highlandradio.com. Moving on to soccer, Irish League champions Linfield stand in the way of Shelburne's progression to round two of Champions League qualification tonight. The Dubliners take a 1-0 lead to Windsor Park, and head coach Joey O'Brien says his players are capable of performing in European competition.
From my point of view, I would have told the lads, like, it's the pinnacle, I suppose, of club football. It's the reality of it, and we're at the very, very start of it. And it's just about going out and embracing that and enjoying it. They're good enough to be at this level. The lads have won it. They've earned the right to be at this level. They've done that last year. Now it's about going out and making sure you have no regrets.
That game kicks off at 7:45. The quarterfinals get underway at the Women's Euros this evening, with Norway taking on Italy at 8. Italy were second to world champion Spain in Group B, while Norway advanced to the knockout stages by topping Group A. In cycling, Ireland's Ben Healy has retained the yellow jersey after stage 11 of the Tour de France. Norway's Jonas Abrahamsen won in a sprint finish to today's 156-kilometre loop that started and ended in Toulouse. Healy still holds a 29-second lead over defending champion Tadej Pogacar, who crashed with 4 kilometres to go. The general classification group then stopped to allow the Slovenian rider to catch up. Finally, in cricket, Cricket Ireland and the Northern Cricket Union have expressed dismay and disappointment over the cancellation of a cross-community summer camp. North Down Cricket Club cancelled the camp after an Orange Lodge objected to the inclusion of a small group of children from a GAA club. Cricket Ireland chair Brian McNeice has revealed that they are committed to following through on the initiative. Irish Cricket's governing body and the NCU have also approached East Belfast GA about plans for a similar camp at Stormont. That is all your sports news for today. We're back with more tomorrow morning. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. GAA Palestine has confirmed its planned trip to Ireland with 33 children and their mentors can no longer go ahead. In a statement, they say the delay stemming from issues with the Department of Justice has ultimately resulted in this difficult decision, as time had run out to make alternative arrangements. Earlier, the Taoiseach said he was generally perplexed by GAA Palestine's handling of its planned trip. Micheál Martin said an appeal was only submitted yesterday afternoon, despite his understanding that it could have been lodged last week. Returning to one of our earlier stories, the changes to the Common Agricultural Policy as being proposed today, the President of the European Commission says agriculture remains at the heart of the new €2 trillion seven-year EU budget. Ursula von der Leyen announced plans for a new common agricultural policy this afternoon following protests by farmers outside the Parliament building in Brussels. Farming representative groups here have expressed concern about the plan, saying that funding for farmers needs to be ring-fenced rather than put into a super fund with other sectors. Ursula von der Leyen was asked if she was effectively putting an end to the CAP.
Agriculture will be strengthened. What we have safeguarded are the direct payments to farmers, the equivalent of 300 billion euros. That is one part that is clearly safeguarded and secured. With the national and regional partnership plans, there's potentially way more funding accessible.
Finally, the chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee has told a meeting this week he's received confirmation from Minister James Brown that letters of assurance must be issued by Donegal County Council in the case of houses remediated under options 2 to 5. The letters are necessary so that houses can be sold after remediation is complete. The letters can also be sought by insurance companies. We understand Donegal County Council officials had been reluctant to issue the letters, believing they should be issued by the department. Well, Councillor McDermott says he's now been given a definitive answer, and the hope is this issue will be resolved before the committee's next meeting in September.
I've been liaising with the Minister's office over the last couple of months to try to get this situation with letters of assurance sorted out. The Minister has wrote to me very clearly stating that the legislation that is enacted clearly states that the council have to issue the letters of assurance. I know that the council, Donegal County Council, have reservations in relation to issuing those letters of assurance and the legalities around that. At the end of the day, Donal, we have situations at the minute where people need those letters of assurance. There's homes that have been remediated 2-3 years ago, still don't have the letters of assurance, and insurance companies for getting houses insured are looking for them. And the big issue we have is that homes that are trying to be sold cannot be sold.
Is there a fear on the council's part that if something goes wrong down the line, it could be legally liable?
Yeah, I suppose that is the fear that they have. But at the same time, the letter of assurance doesn't really state that, you know, the house is insurable or the house is sellable or anything like that. The letter of assurance is a letter of assurance to the homeowner to say that if anything deteriorates in their house over the next 40 years, that they can come back into the scheme. That's all the letter of assurance gives you a guarantee for. It doesn't give you a guarantee for that you'll definitely get back into the scheme. It doesn't give you a guarantee that your house is mortgageable, insurable or anything else.
And if the house is sold, does that assurance go on with the sale? Does it pass on to the new owner?
Yeah, the letter of assurance goes with the home, not the homeowner.
Weather forecast dry this evening with warm spells of sunshine and scattered showers in mostly light southeast or variable breezes. Tonight, generally dry at first. A band of showery rain will move in over the course of the night with some intense downpours possible. Lowest overnight temperatures not falling below 13 to 15 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southeast winds. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with further outbreaks of showery rain. Some heavy and thundery that'll lead to spot flooding in places potentially. A few scattered sunny spells as well on Thursday. Top temperatures 19 to 22 in moderate to fresh southwest winds. Let's take a look at the closing headlines on this Wednesday evening, and it's been confirmed this afternoon that all money not released to successful applicants under the Children's Disability Service grant that were announced last year will now be made available. All groups will get the money they were promised. 3.6 million had been promised to 4 projects in Donegal. They were the No Barriers Foundation, Finn Valley Leisure Centre, Health Hub Professionals LNI and Spree August Sport in Carndonagh. Deputy Pearse Doherty says the money, which was announced a great fanfare before last year's election, should have been released immediately and indeed should have been released as emergency funding back in December 2023. He said what's happened since then has been a shambolic farce. Deputy Charles Ward is calling for the establishment of a new dental school in the Northwest. He was speaking during a debate on dental services in the Dáil earlier today, and Uisce Éireann has confirmed that its crews are supporting repair teams to fix the undersea pipeline which supplies drinking water from the mainland to Gola Island. While the work is ongoing, they say alternative supplies including tankers and bottled water are available on the pier at Gola. Full details on these and all other stories available on our website, highlandradio.com. We're back with headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 16th of July. The death has taken place at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin of Paddy MacDonald, Paddy's Corner, Three Trees, Quigley's Point. Paddy's remains will arrive at the Muff border at approximately 6 o'clock this evening, continuing on to his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in Sacred Heart Church, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The tragic death has occurred of Damien O'Brien, Huntington Beach, California, formerly of Stony Butter, Killigordon. Damien will repose at his parents, Patricia and Bernard O'Brien's home in Stony Butter, Killigordon, until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 1pm to 9pm. Rosary nightly at 9 with family time, please, from after the rosary both nights and on the morning of the funeral. Damien's Requiem Mass will take place at 12 noon on Friday in St Patrick's Church, Killigordon, with burial afterwards in Kilwira Cemetery, Glenfinn. The burial is strictly private, please, for the O'Brien and O'Connor families. A shuttle bus will operate from Laverty's Yard to the wake house. The death has taken place of Kathleen Cullen, Carnegore, Carrigart, reposing at her late residence. Removal from there this evening at 8 o'clock, going to the Church of St John the Baptist to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Rosaline Gallagher, née Kilpatrick, 7 Townsend Terrace, Strabane, formerly of Stranorder. Reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, ICU. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.